The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
America tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. Is Ebola still part of your vocabulary? Boy, oh boy. I think we are weary of talking about Ebola, but how can you not when you know just how frightening it could be if we were to have some sort of an outbreak here in the United States? Okay, the good news is to calm all the panic. We've got people that have been quarantined that are out of quarantine, which is 50 plus. People that have been monitored, they're cleared from monitoring. This is in Dallas where the first Ebola patient diagnosed with Ebola in the United States died, Tom Duncan. Of course, he brought Ebola in from Liberia. Since then, we now have these checkpoints. So any flights coming into the United States where you would be connected to one of the hard-hit areas in West Africa for Ebola, you would be coming from one of those areas, potentially. There would be people to greet you at the gates in Atlanta and Chicago and New York and in New Jersey, too, as well. Also Washington, D.C., at the five airports. So the theory is if you are showing signs of Ebola, you get yanked. Although I'd have to question that logic because I still think you could circumvent the system. Think about it. If you don't have it, you have it incubating inside of you, which is what happened with Tom Duncan. There's an easy way to slip through the system. So I think a bonehead move not to just ban the flights temporarily like they're doing in England, like they're doing in so many other countries. What's the diff? There's other ways to get in there. And then coming back, we wouldn't have to be concerned with that. But either way, this is where we're at this point. How about this? Because so many people feel as though, not enough was done. Finally, in the aftermath, the decision was we're going to have a point person. We're going to have an Ebola czar. But the Ebola czar is missing some of the things that have happened, and we'll have to play catch up fast because you have the two nurses who, one, won't allow her condition to be upgraded to tell us what the upgrade is or what's happening. Her name's Amber Vinson. She was the second nurse who took the flight to Ohio and back from Ohio to Dallas. The other nurse, the first nurse who contracted Ebola after treating Duncan, had her condition upgraded from fair to good. So the newly appointed Ebola czar, Ron Klain, starts his job in just a few hours. He doesn't have any connection to healthcare whatsoever. Not a doctor, had no hospital administrative skills, anything like that. He is what they're calling a managerial type, a true pinpoint person. The person to go to who has to coordinate everything that's happening in the United States, check on the new travel restrictions, the screenings at the airports, update the conditions of all the people, all that sort of stuff will be under his umbrella. Could we have a surgeon general? Is there a chance while the world's worst Ebola outbreak is happening and we actually had someone die from Ebola here in the United States that we could finally agree on a surgeon general and get somebody through? I think this is the biggest problem because the surgeon general could have been all over this being that person, but we don't have a surgeon general. There's been a push to have a vote on the nomination of Dr. Murthy for surgeon general because of the whole Ebola thing, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, especially with now the focus on the elections are coming up. We are inside the 2-week time period for the elections. The focus is on let's just do what we have to do and work on the task at hand, not ruffle any feathers and talk about it a couple days later. Not avoiding Ebola, but we've got a czar. We're going to have a hearing after the elections in the Senate. We already had a House hearing. Let's move forward on this and just deal with the elections, and that's it. And really, I think that's what we're going to see for the next couple of weeks. Got to mention this at the top because he was uber famous, which who cares that he was uber famous, but he yielded some pretty big power, and some interesting reporters came out of the Ben Bradlee watch. He was Mr. Washington Post. He was the editor who took the paper through the Pentagon Papers and Watergate. And if you saw the movie All the President's Men, he certainly was portrayed in that movie. He has died at the age of 93. They actually started the end-of-life care at his home last month. He was suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia for several years. He was officially the executive editor of the Post from 1968 to 1991. And he was diagnosed a while ago, but then it became obvious he had a serious problem a few years ago. His wife is the well-known Washington Post columnist Sally Quinn, and she started to tell people about that afterwards. So it was just in November, last November, that the president awarded Bradlee the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest honor that you can give civilians. And, of course, he was the guy who really put together Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, and they were the ones who broke and, I guess, really pursued the whole Washington, Watergate story. And certainly their reach went beyond the boundary of Washington, D.C. And there were other things, you know, the Pentagon Papers, really, that really stands out for a lot of people. And you have to go back to 1971 for that. And, you know, all those classified documents that showed that the war in Vietnam wasn't going as we heard it was going. Political leaders were saying it was going. And, you know, then again, how that was portrayed. But anyway, Ben Bradlee, dead at the age of 93. Back in the day when newspaper was really the thing you read, and it was the thing you did during the day, got up in the morning, boom, what was above the folds. And now newspaper is practically obsolete, online. We get our news fast and furious. And a lot of times we even get our news from Twitter, 130 characters, not like the old days of newsprint, certainly. This is worth mentioning here also, too, at the top of this show, and it's the fact that the Cowboys released Michael Sam. The reason that we bring it up here at the top of this hour is because Michael Sam really made a lot of headlines since he was the first gay player to be drafted, knowingly gay, openly gay player to be drafted. So much was made and so much debate over that during the draft. And then he went to St. Louis, and there were players that were better for the position. So he ended up getting cut by Jeff Fisher from the St. Louis Rams roster, went on to get picked up Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And for the second time in 2 months, an NFL team has waived Michael Sam. But really, the reason, of course, has nothing to do with his choices. It has everything to do with the fact that they had to make room on their practice squad. He says, thanks to Dallas, who tweeted this out and said he enjoyed his time with the Dallas Cowboys, and he looks forward to trying to continue to fight to make another NFL roster. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Well, somebody put it to me the other day. They asked me through an email if I remembered the $6 million man. And it's funny they asked that question because I was just in a bookstore where there was these two Steve Austin replica dolls that were up there on the shelf, and they said a lot of people were interested in them, so they decided they were going to sell them. So yes, $6 million man. And at the time, if you think of the $6 million man and you look at TV Land now, because you'll see some of those episodes there, I mean, we're talking 70s, but he was part man, sort of part cyborg, if you will. How about what's happening at Dallas-based Rossellini Scientific? They're developing some unbelievable technologies, implantable devices that can help with the early detection of things like, imagine this, cardiac arrest. Think of where we are with heart attacks. Also, brain disorders, high on the list. So in our virtual green room, Austin Duke, VP of Emerging Therapy. So thanks so much, Austin, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk about, heart attacks especially. I guess give us the overall picture. First of all, where are you with these devices? And as you put, have them on the drawing board and you're thinking of, okay, what are we going after? What did you do? List the top three things or four things or five things that people really struggle with?
Well, it's interesting. You can come at it from a couple of different perspectives. There's the approach where you say, I have a piece of technology, it's been developed, it's cutting edge, what could we do with this, where is there an unmet need, where this would be important, and then there's the other perspective to say, well, we've identified a problem, now let's go design a solution for that problem. So we've actually approached solutions in both directions. We have, through various means, acquired technology that was already developed, and have found ways to repurpose it for what we think are some pretty exciting opportunities. And then in other ways, we've looked at the industry, at patients, and at doctors and said, where are we currently struggling? What diseases could use a better therapy? What are patients complaining about? What are doctors complaining about? And then we look and find ways to develop technology to meet those needs. So we come at it from a little bit different perspective, just depending on the case and the resources at hand.
Yeah. What's been the most exciting part about this journey, what you just mentioned, coming at it a couple of different ways?
I would say when you get that feedback from a patient or from a doctor, it sounds cliche, but it's so true, to have them recognize the importance of what you're doing and to say, you know, I've sat across the table from a patient, you know, take a doctor, for example. I've sat across the table from a patient, and they look at me with, you know, eyes that say, I want a treatment, and I have to look back and say, I don't have anything. For us to come to them and say, hey, we're working on something exciting, we think we have a solution for this problem, and for their, you know, their expression essentially to light up and say, yes, that's what I'm looking for. So we have a process on all these technologies where we go out and talk face to face with customers, whether it's a patient, whether it's a physician, whether it's somebody that influences the industry, to make sure that we are aligning our technological development and our approaches with the need. And so when you see an idea that has come up in one of our meeting rooms or in a conversation, or that we've partnered with an inventor, an investigator, and see that go through a few iterations and finally light up the eyes of the person that's intended for that, that's an extremely rewarding experience.
Oh, I bet. In talking about heart attacks at the top of this, and people who have heart attacks, have heart failure, and luckily get to the hospital in the nick of time, or then we hear the stories where they don't get there. Your technology, you got like $7 million in development funding now. When you're talking about tackling the things you're talking about, that's pretty important stuff, right, to be able to get that kind of funding.
Yeah, especially in this day and age. You know, in medical devices, especially over the last few years, venture funding has started to dry up a bit. And one of the ways that we've gone about raising funding, well, I should say there's two different ways. One is to tap into grants, both in the U.S. and over in Europe. And those are fantastic for several different reasons. The government is actively investing in healthcare, and they provide you with resources. They provide you not only with capital investment, but also with connections and with some of their infrastructure to be able to do, you know, extend on what we already have to facilitate development. And over in Europe, you have some countries that are looking to build on current infrastructure or remake certain sections of the country to go from more industrialized to into a more advanced or more healthcare-centric focus. And so they're investing in companies to bring technology back and forth. And it helps us for a few different reasons. The biggest way is that it allows us to make decisions based purely on the science and the unmet need. So we're able to pair those two together, as opposed to what can happen if an outside investor, and I'm certainly not trying to talk bad about investors, but if there's a misalignment. So to let us do proof of concept early on non-dilutive grant funding, to prove a concept, to demonstrate feasibility, and then we can accelerate that development later with investment once we have that proof of concept. But it's really it's a great means to get technology off the ground. So like you said, having raised $7 million or so in the last couple of years has been, I don't have the right words to say how important that is to get us to where we're at today and to make progress on some of these exciting things that you've mentioned.
Yeah, tell us where you are with brain disorders. That's also heavily on the radar for a lot of people, for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, we're looking at a few different projects there. So we, within the past year, we have acquired a technology and some of the key personnel that were instrumental in developing that technology, approximately $20 million was spent on a deep brain stimulator. And so this device is CE marked for Parkinsonian disorders, movement disorders. And we are looking to extend the development that was already done there. So some fantastic engineering. It's a cutting-edge device, sort of a Cadillac of implantable neurostimulators for brain activation, and looking to now take the next steps towards clinical application. We're looking to pair it with software that will allow for doctors to be able to monitor the technology remotely, which can be an enormous value proposition for patients that are either in rural areas where getting to a hospital center can be difficult, or maybe an elderly patient that it's just hard to get around, where going to the physician can be limiting. So we try to bring the technology to the patient by facilitating remote communications with the doctor. It has value propositions on both ends. We're looking at taking some established therapy, so for instance, epilepsy, and finding ways to improve upon that treatment as well. So we've got grant funding and grant pipeline built up to support that. We've just brought in some new members to our team who have several years of PhD level researchers that are iterating on those approaches. So we're at the beginning stages of the brain research that we're doing, but we have so many exciting projects that we're working on that I would expect that within the next year you're going to hear quite a bit more from us on the traction that we've made.
Yeah, and what do you hope? What's your personal goal, Austin, for, you know, I said you were the VP of Emerging Therapies. What are you hoping, you know, ultimately down the line happens?
Well, my personal goal, and this would be just for me and not for the company, I've always said it would be so exciting for me to walk into the grocery store and see someone using a technology that I had a hand in developing. I mean, that's rewarding. Not to go too long on my story, but I have type 1 diabetes, received an insulin pump a decade or more ago, and it changed my life. And that's what got me into this industry, was to say, there was an engineer, there was a scientist, there was somebody that developed that technology and brought it to me. I want to be able to do the same thing. So to meet that person is a personal goal. As far as the company, what we like to do, and my goal here, is we like to serve as a link or a bridge between early stage good ideas, whether they happen internally with our team, whether they happen with academic institution and investigators or inventors, that may not have the resources, the capabilities, the time to translate their technology to the clinic. We want to be the ones that can take those great ideas and give them the energy, give them the resources and the capability to bring them across the threshold to commercialization. And to be successful at that, to have patients using our technology, and to fulfill the promise that we're making to patients and physicians, that's the ultimate goal.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Austin Duke, Rossellini Scientific. Good luck. We'll be looking for the same people in the grocery store. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Sending in your thoughts to the show, as usual, an overflow of the mailbag. Some of it has to do with Ebola, some ISIS, and some just what I think is going to happen in the elections. I will tell you this, some interesting news happened today not far from my neighborhood. It turns out that the hospital that was handling the Ebola crisis did such a poor job of it, as we know, and then the CDC with the misinformation and everything else that happened. But now, should Ebola emerge in Dallas or there be more problems with it, not far from my neighborhood, we are the neighborhood that has the hospital that is ground zero for Ebola. So there are many of my neighbors who are not very excited about that. Although, you know, what are the odds and what's happening in Dallas? We have the two nurses who are removed from Dallas. We have people that are being monitored at this point and a lot of people concerned about Ebola coming into the country in other parts of this country. And that was certainly heavily on your mind. So on that note, let's skedaddle to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you. This one from Mark, who says, Kate, I hope you're okay. Timely. There in Dallas, in what you call the satellite facility, because, boy, it seems like they certainly don't know what they're doing in Dallas. I heard Bill Maher on his weekly show rip it to shreds and saying, no doubt, a bunch of idiots constantly did stupid things like let the hazardous waste pile up to the ceiling. Has it gotten any better? Well, I think that part of the problem, it sounds like, and of course we don't know the exact connections, and even in trying to track it down and investigating it and talking to people, you're only getting so much information. It's tight as a lid at Texas Presbyterian because they're scared to death that they're going to lose a lot of people going to their doctors and wanting to go to Texas Presbyterian, because there are certainly many choices in a city the size of Dallas, the fifth largest city in the United States. So to answer the question, I think the CDC messed up in the beginning by not being aggressive, as Tom Frieden said himself, the man who runs the CDC, and they didn't get a lot of great information in Dallas. And I think there were certainly initially when Tom Duncan went to the hospital, that's just ridiculous. How can you not be aware of that? How can you not have any clue as to what's going on and say, well, I'm in Liberia. Do you just not even read the paper, even know what's going on when it comes to health? Are you kidding? I mean, that was everywhere, that story. But regardless, it happened. It was a huge mistake, and that just started a comedy of errors that happened there. So the responsibility for Ebola, if there should be any kind of a problem, is absolutely now been moved to another hospital close to where I live. I guess they trust that hospital more. I don't know. Or if you're Texas Presbyterians, you really want to volunteer for that. Of course, they're not going to volunteer for that. They have enough problems trying to save their reputation. All right, this one from The Dude. I like that, a reference to the fact that what is one of my favorite movies? The Big Lebowski. Somebody else wrote me one time and said, I don't get it. Why do you, The Big Lebowski, that doesn't seem like a movie you'd watch. Are you kidding? I love that movie. So anyway, The Dude says, which has nothing to do with the movie, The Dude says, hey, Kate Delaney and listeners of America Tonight, I agree with you. Why don't we have a travel ban? I don't think it's prejudice. I don't think it's political. I think it just seems safe. Why wouldn't we do that temporarily? It's safe for everybody all the way around. Certainly people don't want to be the person that spread the Ebola, although I liked your analogy. If you had a child or family and you were living in Liberia and you were worried about Ebola, you had come in contact with a lot of people, wouldn't you want to get out of there, especially if you had the means and you had connections on the other side in the United States? Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I said. If I were in that situation, what is your duty as a parent? What do you care about? Your offspring. Try to keep your family safe. Well, even if you didn't have children, friends, yourself, your family, whatever, of course. And that's why the stigmatism attached to it, especially in West Africa, which I go back to Dr. Stone, who we talked to, and she said clearly there were people that were hiding Ebola because they were afraid. They were, one, afraid to come forward thinking they were going to die, seeing everybody around them die, and not wanting to be the person that put the suspicion on their family as well. And that spreads it, though. You know, that would spread it. And then think of that. Imagine what that would be like. I can't even imagine. And people have gone through some horrible things in this country when it comes to death and destruction. And, you know, think of hurricanes. Think of Katrina. And what did we see at Katrina that I thought was so terrible? Body bags, all the body bags. And that's Ebola in West Africa. Not to mention, you know, that's it. You got to get rid of the body. You have to incinerate the body. You got to do whatever you got to do. And they have certain rituals. So that was bumping against their religious rituals. And some people didn't care. And they ignored the warnings and still wanted to be able to touch the person and all that other sort of stuff. So it is a mess. And I think the travel ban would have made sense. Eradicate it, open the lanes back open again once that's all done, and why take the chance? I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm the president. I know I'm veering off here. I'm going to go right back to the email. If I'm the president, the phone call I don't want to get is more people are dying from Ebola in the United States. I don't want to hear that another person who they think was infected took some flight, got on some train, did whatever, and then they were vomiting, and then some other thing happened. I don't want to get those kinds of phone calls if I'm the leader. Well, I don't think any of us want to hear about that, but if I'm the person in charge, I don't want to see that happen. All right, here's one more on this, and this one comes to us from Harry, who says, Kate, I've emailed you probably about 6 or 7 times. Rest assured, I listen to the show. I like it, darling. Here's the thing. I don't like Ebola. I don't like the way Texas is being portrayed. I feel sorry for that hospital, and I clearly put it on the back of the CDC. You've talked about that. I think they really didn't do much to help the people in Texas, didn't emphasize the severity, didn't really come up with the tight protocols. I mean, who will ever know for sure? But I'm going to say that most of the train wreck that happened should be the fault of the CDC. Well, yeah, I agree with you. If you're the CDC, you're the mighty CDC. You're funded. You're our peeps. You're the CDC. We're expecting that when we have some kind of outbreak, when there is some kind of problem, who are we going to? Who are the great minds? And there are great scientists and great people who go through the CDC. We've actually had some of them on the program. If you remember when I went to Grenada, somebody who handled patient zero after the AIDS epidemic, who worked at the CDC, and absolutely. But it doesn't mean the person in charge is good at what they need to do if something happens with some kind of outbreak. And Ebola is serious, because I'll go back to this again. How can you treat it lightly? No vaccine, no cure. Lots of variables on how someone could come across Ebola. This is why the hazmat suits and everything else. If it wasn't a big deal, they just have gloves on and a little mask or something. I mean, they look like something from a movie if you look at them. It looks like from the movie Outbreak, frankly, and that's why. It's why people dealing with it are suited up that way. All right, we're moving on to something else. Let's move on to some other emails I got. This one from Erica, who says, Kate, I'm excited about the midterm elections. I have to tell you that I vote for the person. I don't care about the party as much. I used to be a Democrat. Then I will say I flip-flopped and became a Republican. Then I was disgusted with some of the Republicans. And then I decided, you know what? I am just going to vote for the person who I think will do the best job. And I love this Florida race. And, of course, I live in Florida. Do you think Rick Scott is going to retain his seat, or do you think Crist is the guy that's in? Man, I'll tell you, that crazy thing with the fan deal, that was wild. You have Rick Scott blasting Crist, you have Crist blasting him back, and, you know, November 4th, then we'll see what the results are. A lot of people are trying to help Charlie Crist, you know, including Hillary Clinton, who's stumped for him a few times and whatnot. I mean, these are highly personal, bitter attacks if you look at the ads. I mean, they are really, really sparring at each other. And you look at Crist, and before he became a Democrat, remember, he was an independent. And then you've got Rick Scott, who certainly has his supporters. And I would say that it's going to come down to certain districts and how they vote, like where the more liberal areas are they going to get enough voters out versus the more conservative areas? Because it's a really split up state, really split up state. And the debate is interesting between those two and what they argue about deficit, you know, arguing about the deficit, arguing about money that was borrowed in the past. That's one thing Scott looks back at Crist's record and he says, hey, when you were governor, how many jobs did we lose? You know, over 800,000. And then, you know, they go back and forth that way. And I'll tell you, if I were a betting person, though, I would say probably Scott gets reelected, but narrowly. I don't think it's a blowout victory. I don't think it's a blowout win. It is because Crist is really challenging him, and he really has, like I said, there are plenty of areas and plenty of people backing him, but I don't know if he has enough to overcome the people that'll support Scott to continue in the, you know, to continue to represent, anyway, the state of Florida. Interesting times, no doubt. Stay with us.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Three square meals you'll need in an emergency. So the Freeze Dry Guys three square meal unit sale is just a ticket. A variety pack of tasty, nourishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner on sale now. Breakfast is Freeze Dry Guys' favorite. Hot oatmeal and sweet dehydrated bananas. Lunch is Mountain House freeze-dried hot macaroni and cheese and crisp green beans. And dinner is Mountain House long grain wild rice pilaf and hearty beef stew, vegetables, and gravy. Call Freeze Dry Guy and ask for details on the 126 serving three square meals unit. One case normally $164.37, sale priced at only $138.90. Save over $25. Get two or three cases and save even more. Or ask about Freeze Dry Guy's fall chili special. Always free shipping to lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 or click freezedryguy.com. And hurry, the fall chili special and three square meals unit are on sale while supplies last. From the Freeze Dry Guy, the finest freeze dried and dehydrated foods available for long term storage, period.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, I'm Sam Nussbaum, WellPoint's Chief Medical Officer. We proudly support the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together to provide children with a healthier start in life. Visit marchofdimes.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Again, hey, we're going around the track, flipping in a few more turns, and before we call it an hour, let's head out to the phone lines. If you have anything you want to throw in, we're talking about Ebola and a mixture of other things as well, a little politics, too. It's been pretty interesting, hasn't it, in a couple of different areas of the country. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, Mark in the great state of Washington. Hey, Mark, thanks for hanging. How are you?
Yes, that guy from Australia, he's awesome. I love that country. If I ever leave here in America, I'm going there.
I like Australia. I like Australia, too. I mean, they just, you know, the people of Australia, don't they, Mark, just seem so embracing?
And they're not afraid to kick the terrorists out.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
They don't take prisoners. They just
yep.
go for it.
They just
anyway,
go for it.
Yes. You don't seem too old to me. Maybe you're older than I think, but you sound pretty young. Anyway, I don't know where you stand on presidents or how many of you have seen, but have you seen a president worse than Obama?
Here's what I think about Obama. I think all the hope and change was all hope and nonsense. I think that there was a You know, there was a great divide. And then when he came in, hey, I'm going to shore things up with Republicans and Democrats. And it was just more promises, not transparency. And even the most liberal Democrats I know, Mark, seriously, are very disappointed in this press.
And you think the first black president would bring the two races together?
Yeah, no.
And it's the opposite. So
yeah.
You know what? You're a little easier to get a hold of than, say, Rush Limbaugh would be. I got a good theme for a one-hour program, and I want one of my talk show hosts to do it. And this theme would be, call up if you voted for Obama and you regret it, and tell us why. And I think you will be swamped with calls. It's
you know what?
For somebody to admit that they did it and they're wrong. But, you know, I know a lot of people who were fooled.
Well, because they thought something different was going to happen and they didn't get what they thought. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I've already done that. I've done it where we've had people call in. I was filling in one time for a guy named Jason Lewis. And, man, you're absolutely right. The phone lines were blowout phone lines because people did call in and they said what they thought was going to happen and how disappointed they were. And even some that admitted that they were Republicans, but they thought, I'm going to just, you know, I don't like the alternative here, so I'm going to take a flyer for once and I'm going to go in this direction. I have younger kids. I have other people influencing me. And they of course, are disappointed, but the mark is when you have so many Democrats that are disappointed.
And you know what? Wait until the election's over when he has nothing else to lose. Watch him cut loose. I mean, we already know they're talking about 34 million, whatever you call them, for illegals. I mean, he is
at, green cards.
At the midterm election, he has nothing to lose. He is going to be out of control. And I don't think he cares. Why would he care about his fellow Democrats? He cares about himself and his own legacy. And the Saul Alinsky manual. Anyway, I know a Quinnipiac poll was taken about 2 months ago, and he was rated the worst president since Roosevelt. That's 80 years. That's our lifetime. So for all practical purposes, that's the people who were interviewed, that's their entire life. So he's basically our worst president. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you know, we've done this and we'll do this too, even when it comes up on President's Day. Mark, thanks for hanging. Glad we're one of your talk shows. Keep listening, keep calling. And interesting, because as I said, we have done this before and we've had people call in and write and they've talked about it. Lots of people, because we have a lot of people that will email. They work different hours of the day. Sometimes they're third shifters and sometimes they're downloading. And as I said, the true mark is, are you having a lot of Democrats? I mean, because it's a layup for a Republican, let's face it, to say, are you kidding me with this, this, and this, and this? But it's when people who were really backing Obama, you know, like I come from New Jersey. So, frankly, in my world where I grew up compared to places I've lived, I really have split friends and split family where you either have some who are very conservative, have been from the beginning, are gracious and always willing to have the conversation. I don't have any friends that can't have a conversation about it. And then I have massively liberal people in my family that have been that way their whole lives, that truly embrace the idea, don't like what the word liberal has become, and don't like some of the things they've seen with the Democratic Party. And are not happy with the president, although they do say sometimes he's unfairly attacked. Like one of the things that I'll hear is, okay, I don't like, you know, it's like my aunt will say, I don't like what's happened. I voted for Obama twice. I'm disappointed twice. I thought the second time this, this, and this, and this would happen. But I think some of the people and some of the ridiculous things they're saying, they're just completely attacking Obama just to attack him, which is different than pointing out the reasons why, you know. And now it is about legacy. Certainly it's about legacy at this point. And, you know, it's I think the big mistake with his presidency was some of the people that he trusted in the cabinet. And I would say also completely announcing, we're going to be so transparent, we're not going to be like the people before us, you can count on us, So whether we mess up, you love us, whatever, it's going to be transparency, baby. And, of course, it's not. And then the biggest problem I have, but now Democrats and Republicans, some of this is the similarity, the melding that we're seeing, which is frightening to me, is the lack of action. The lack of action that it's, I say this all the time. I mean, my biggest description of D.C. is reactionaries. It's always about reacting to things instead of getting in front of things. And even Ebola is exactly like that. We're behind the curve on Ebola. Why? We know this guy comes in. We see the screw up in Dallas. Why immediately is that not shut down? Why immediately do we not stop the travel, do that, get Tom Frieden in front of this thing instead of sitting there in Atlanta and saying, oh, we should have been more aggressive about it? It doesn't help anybody to say we should have been more aggressive. And luckily so far, knock on wood, these two nurses are fighting and seem to be doing okay. But one never knows because Ebola is a strange thing. There are many twists and turns to where it can take you once it grabs hold of you, the virus. Speaking of grabbing hold, I meant to say this previously, but we had Luke Vargas on the show, and he's telling us about the whole, you know, UN thing, and meaning the UN sent a delegation of folks up to Detroit. They did a couple of visits, and what they did is in Detroit, they're upset because there was these UN lawyers who jumped on the city for cutting off water to delinquent customers, and they said the shutoffs were human rights violations. This was a 3-day visit to Detroit. Luke talked about it. And, that city, of course, is in a mess. They're desperately trying to bail themselves out of bankruptcy. Many of you who call us from Michigan can attest to that. And they say that this is now just piling on another thing that they cannot deal with. And what the UN is saying is that they've heard testimonies from poor residents of Detroit who are forced to make impossible choices to pay the water bill or pay their rent. And the mayor's office blasted the UN review as one-sided. The mayor is Alex Wiley. The mayor is not Alex Wiley. The mayor is Mike Dugan. And he's saying, or at least his people are saying, that the city is incredibly disappointed with the UN and the group of people that they sent, that they took a position and they never even reached out to the city for any information, and that a lot of the people are 60 days past due or they owe more than 150. So they say, how are we supposed to bail ourselves out of bankruptcy? And what about the customers who are paying? Oh, me, oh, my, oh. Any thoughts on the show, you know what to do. Send me that email, americatonight.net.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.